you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, we hope that it's clear. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Acts 17, verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship is something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you." That's from Acts 17, verses 22 through 23.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is February 21st, 2023, Testimony Tuesday, everyone, my favorite day of the week, as I get to share somebody's faith journey with you, somebody that I sometimes know for many years, to some very new friends. And that's the case today, as Pastor Brian Mills is joining me here in the Springfield WLUJ studios. He's the senior pastor. It's belovedly called the Hope Church. It's the Evangelical Free Church of America. He serves here as the senior pastor in Springfield. He's married to the beloved Chantel for 29 years, has two adult children and one deceased child who's with the Lord, and one grandchild, a new one. And we're going to learn a little of his faith journey and life story. And I'm just getting to know him. In fact, many of you have heard me reference Bernie All-Purpose, sold out for Jesus.
Yes, he is.
Lutchman. And yeah, one of a kind. I think you had said there is nobody like Bernie. And
he's
I said,
great.
Yeah. In fact, recently we had a lunch last week with the Businessmen in Christ, and he knows everyone. He knows all the ministry work that's going on. I call him a free agent for Jesus. So when he texts me, we text all the time. But he, some weeks ago, said, "Mark, you got to get a hold of Pastor Mills. He loves the Lord. He loves God's word. He has an effective men's ministry. He's doing a lot of things here in the greater Springfield area. You just got to get to know him." And in the time before this program, as we've just gotten to talk and share some scripture, and I want to have our listeners learn a little about your ministry,
yeah,
how God's called you here to Springfield. But if you could begin with a little of your own testimony, your
sure
faith journey.
Yeah, I was born on a Friday. I was in church on Sunday, and I've been there ever since. And
yeah.
So I've heard of people talk about God's saving grace, where when you've got your life in a ditch or in a big old mess or a dog pile of messes, mm-hmm, that you need rescued from that. But there's also God's keeping grace. And I'm an example of God's keeping grace. That doesn't mean I was always following Christ, though. I grew up listening to lots of sermons, very involved in the church, but not following Christ. And it was during the Persian Gulf War in 1991, the first one, when I heard all these preachers talking about world prophecy, mm-hmm, and times. And it really got my attention because I'd never really thought about what God wanted to do outside of my own life. I had a very kind of small view of life. It was all about myself at that time. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about what God might be doing in history beyond my own life. And it just really crushed my heart and opened my mind all at the same time. And so I surrendered my life to Christ then in 1991. And the two things I did right away, and they still mark my life today. That's why I want to bring them up. The very first thing I did was I started reading the Bible for myself. I had heard plenty of sermons and lots of scriptures. I just never read the Bible for myself. I turned to the book of Hebrews, of all places. Who starts in the book of Hebrews?
Yeah, right. They usually say start in John or the New Testament.
Yeah. I started the book of Hebrews, and I loved it. Totally started the mental transformation, the heart transformation immediately. The second thing I did is I went down to our local homeless shelter, and I just showed up and just said, hey, what do you need me to do? And they sent me upstairs with a toothbrush, literally, to scrub the tub, the bathtub. Those two things continue to mark my life today. I have a love for the Word of God, and I believe we need to be in service in our community.
I wrote down two things as you were talking, and you may know of Pastor Jason Schiffo. He's part of the Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad, dear, dear friend, and he oftentimes joins me on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and he knows my habit of always writing when something strikes my mind or heart, but you talked about you surrendered to Jesus, and there's a wide range of listeners.
Yeah.
What does it mean to surrender to Jesus, or why surrender to anyone? Isn't life all about me and myself?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. That's the way I was leading it, and I was trying to make decisions for my own life, and I realized I'm not very good at being in charge of my own life, that when I'm driving, and I love to drive, by the way, but when I'm driving my own life, I don't drive it in the right direction. So surrender means I'm trying to go where Christ leads and just follow him and trying to encourage others to do the same thing.
Yeah, and I like that word surrender too. It just makes me think of, again, Pastor Jason Schiffel. Oftentimes we need to come to the point when we lean into Jesus, when we recognize we can't do it in our own power or, you know, our gift sets or whatever. So sometimes that submission, that surrendering is like, okay, Lord, take over my life, do what only you can do. And that's when real power is ignited.
And I probably needed exactly that, but there are some times where I actually think I have the power. I actually think I'm a hard worker. I have a high threshold for pain. I'm very stubborn and willing to go through obstacles. The bigger the challenge, the better. So sometimes I think I deceive myself into thinking I have the power, but what I don't actually have is the direction. And so even if God gave me the power, I would still drive it in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And so for me, what the Word of God does and what Christ himself and through his Spirit does and through the wisdom of other saints, of other people who are older and more mature and ahead of me in the faith, he gives me better direction. And so for me, it's been a complete surrender of mind, heart, and will, and then behavior.
Well, I also wrote down, I was thinking of the book of James, where, you know, there's such a thing as faith and acts or works.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that you're reading through Hebrews and maybe the scriptures for the first time, or really taking it in as, wow, this is God's inspired word. Did that lead you to think of, hey, you need to go serve mankind, go to the homeless shelter? Like, what brought you down to that shelter?
I think it was simply the image of Jesus. I think what I read about Jesus, and if I'm going to follow him, I got to go to what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that was just the first thing I thought of. It's been a long life of other things.
Right.
That's probably not the only way to serve, but that was the first way.
You grew up in a home that went to church, very involved in the church, and then you came to the point where there's more to life because of tragedy, people dying, wars going on. But when did you say, Lord, I'm committing my all to you. I want to maybe pursue the ministry or a full-time vocation as a pastor?
God had been nagging at me since I was 8 years old. But it wasn't until my first year of college, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, there was one week in March when a bunch of people said random things to me, not connected to each other, said random things to me that made me think God was trying to get my attention for something else. And so that's when I really surrendered my life to ministry, was when I heard that call.
Yeah, I'm writing down the pattern of three. I don't know if you ever preached on that, but how many times God's spoken to me in three.
Mm-hmm.
So you read something about some truth, or you get some healthy conviction, you need to do something, and then your friend's talking about it, then you turn on the radio and there's a message on it. Sometimes there's that pattern of three. So I share that, listening friend, if you've already had two things mentioned to you, and today something in the broadcast affirms that this is a direction you need to step out, or you need to proclaim the good good news message to that neighbor of yours, or you need to contemplate maybe God is calling you to full-time ministry. Of course, I think we're all called to ministry.
Yes, definitely.
Full-time. Some it's maybe more vocational, but really there's no secular job.
And for me, that's actually what I committed to. I wasn't committing to a job or a paycheck. I was just committing to a life of surrender. So I actually was giving up a job. I was giving up a career, and I was just going to do whatever God led me to do. And I didn't even know what that was going to be. What I told him was, God, I'm not expecting you to make it easy. I'm just asking you to make it clear. And if you'll make it clear, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And the next day, I got a phone call from a Bible college in Dallas. And I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to go.
So then how did God lead you here to Springfield and the Evangelical Free Church?
Well, I was doing inner city ministry in Dallas. Then I started working in a suburban church in the fifth fastest growing county in the nation in Dallas. That's where I started my family. I got married. I was serving as a student pastor there. And the two things are connected, because what I saw when I was working in the inner city is the church wasn't there. There were lots of churches elsewhere, but not there. So I thought, well, the church needs to be here. And so God led me to a church. When I was in the church, that particular church was struggling with leadership in that season. And I thought, well, the church needs leaders. And so that led me to a Christian university in Lincoln, Illinois.
Wow.
So I came up to Lincoln, Illinois, and I was there for 12 years. I was an administrator at the school there. And while I was there, I realized churches are not sending students to the Christian university. So I'm back full circle now to the church, and through just a wonderful, beautiful story, God called me to Hope Church here in Springfield, and it's just been a wonderful gift to me and my family.
Were you familiar with Mike Nichols at
Lincoln?
Oh,
yeah. Good friend. I just had lunch with Mike last week.
Oh, he wrote that book. I have it next to my bedside. I read a little excerpt once in a while, The Importance of Life and Contemplating the End of Life and Maximizing the Time that You Have Here, and he's been on the program before. I really appreciate him. But Karen Harrison, our office manager, graduated from Lincoln Christian College. I think three out of her four children went to Lincoln Christian University now. And
over 15,000 graduates all over the world. Yeah. It's such a great family to be a part of.
Yeah, Marianne, a bunch of people. So, well, we applaud God for bringing you to our area. I've heard many wonderful things about your church and your passion for men's ministry. But we must know, when did you meet up with Chantel, and how has she enriched your life?
Well, I didn't do a lot of dating when I was in college. I went to do an internship in Oklahoma, and I was at Chantel's parents' church. And she didn't go to church there. She was doing other things at that time in life, but we got to know each other. Fast forward the next summer, we didn't date that summer, we just got to know each other. Fast forward to the next summer, I was leading an inner city camp, a 10-week day camp in the inner city of Dallas, and I needed some volunteer staff because this wasn't a paid thing. And I remembered her being a very, very strong Christian leader, new in her faith, but just a really strong leader with a lot of great gifting. And so I asked her if she would come and serve with me as volunteer staff that summer. So she raised money and she came down. She was there 1 week. And we started dating. She was there 1 month and we got engaged. And then 5 months later, we were married.
Yep.
And we tell people today not to do it that way, but God has been faithful with us, and it's been 29 years.
Wow. Now, Pastor Mills, I'm just thinking of the wide range of people tuning in today. Some look at the world and think it's a crazy world. They don't want to bring children into the world. Others are, there can't be a good God because look at what he's allowing to have happen. There's wars. Then there's other Christians that are saying, well, God's sovereign and you just have to trust that he's going to work through things. But there's some confusion. What would you say to that person that just says, I can't believe there could be a good, loving God behind all this?
That's a great question. I think even having the concept of good, when we come from the world you just described, how would we know what good even looks like if there wasn't some being informing us of that good? If there was no God to define, or good God to define what good is, or give us even that image, how would we know what good even looks like? Why would we define it outside of our own abilities, our own power, our own greatest pleasure? I mean, you literally think if there's no God at all, the only way you and I are going to define good is by maximal human power, or by maximal human pleasure, or by somebody being more virtuous than another person. And we all know, all the humans, including the one in the mirror, Even our best is not good enough. Yeah. So I don't know that our definition of good, if we're just using a human scale, I don't think our definition of good is big enough. The fact that we all have, you know, Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in our hearts. The fact that we're all reaching for more than we are humanly capable of accomplishing or experiencing, to me, that alone says there's a good God somewhere who's inspiring that reach.
Yeah, that innate need for all of us to look for the best or look for something means there must be something behind it all.
That desire, that craving had to be put inside of us from somewhere, I think.
Yeah. Now, if somebody was going to come to your church, say, on a Sunday, what would they find? What are the times? And what are you most passionate about?
The first thing they're going to find is really great and warm people. Mm. I think Hope Church, I didn't give it the name. Actually, we didn't give it the name. The community, 115 years ago, we were just a mission at 16th and Carpenter. We were just literally established there to help the poorest people in the poorest neighborhood of Springfield. And the neighborhood nicknamed us Hope Chapel. So we took that name and we've run with it now for 115 years. You're going to find a bunch of people who are filled with hope and friendliness. You're going to find a really quirky pastor, and I apologize for him in advance. Our service times are 9 and 10:45 on a Sunday.
And are you preaching through a certain series now, or do you like to go through a book of the Bible or topical?
Actually, we always do a series, and it's always based in a book of the Bible because, I have a love for the Word of God, and I trust the Word of God. So the Word of God is better than any of my wisdom. Yeah. The Word of God is better than any of my enthusiasm. So I'm always trying to help people understand the Word of God, but not just memorize it. I think too many people read the Word like it's a book of spells or a book of rules. They're looking for a map. Right. And I don't think it's any of those things. Most people, when you read the State of the Bible, American Bible Society does every year a survey about the state of the Bible. When you read their most recent survey, what they realized, and the one published in 2022, what they realized is that people want to read the Bible but don't know where to start. So my ministry at Hope is actually a pretty boring traditional ministry in the sense that it's just committed to the Word of God. I want to help people understand what it means, what it meant in its original context, and how to apply it today. And so sometimes we get kind of branded as a progressive church or a contemporary church or a modern church. I don't think that's true at all. We're a very traditional, boring church in the sense that it's always a very deep Bible study with a lot of history and culture, but we're trying to apply it to today. So today is a different day. We're raising some different questions than we were a long time ago, but the Word of God doesn't change. And so we're still trying to calibrate ourselves back to what He's doing. And so we're starting a brand new series actually with Ash Wednesday. We actually always observe Lent together as a church. We really like that holy season leading up to Easter. And so we take full advantage of all 7 weeks of it. We're starting a new series called Packing Light. It's going to be confessions of failure and faith, where we're going to look at some of the individuals that Jesus had a one-on-one conversation with and how their conversation resulted in either a confession of failure or a confession of faith. I'm really excited about it and looking forward to it.
Now, one thing, Pastor Mills, that I'm going to say about you, and I should have maybe made this a disclaimer on the front end of the program, when I sent you a little form to fill out so I could introduce you to people, you said, well, I really rather not talk about me, and if this interview is going to be about me, I don't want to really have a part about it. It's about glorifying Jesus and raising His name or talking about the unique ways He's at work. I'm all about that. So you're what I call one of my reluctant guests. When I got you into the studio, I said, hey, it'll just work out. You know, I want you to share a little of your testimony, but I appreciate your passion for lifting high the name of Jesus, wanting it to be all about Him and the growth of the church and the development of people to either grow in their walk with Jesus or maybe get to know Jesus for the first time. But today's program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So if you missed a portion of the broadcast, you can go back and listen to it, or you can right-click on it, copy it, paste it into an email, and send it to a friend. But I appreciate the work that you're doing at Hope Church, the Evangelical Free Church here in Springfield. And a number of people have said there's a vibrant men's ministry going on there. There's a lot of activities, and they honor God and they love His Word. So I commend you, if you don't have a church family, to entertain the idea. But better than that, just show up on a Sunday. And the location is at 3000 Lenhart Road Springfield.
Right over by Centennial Park.
Near Centennial Park. Well, we began the program, and I'm going to close out with this verse again. It's out of Acts chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you have worshipped as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you." So Pastor Mills, in our closing couple minutes, for that person that maybe doesn't know Jesus, hasn't started a faith journey, what would you proclaim to them? What would you like that listener to know about Jesus or about God?
Wow. He's closer than you think. God is made himself known to us through Jesus. And that is all by itself a powerful truth that we don't think enough about. The fact that the creator of the universe would make himself obvious to us in a form we could recognize, but also in a form we could approach. Jesus was not like the Pharisees. He was not like the religious rulers of his day. And he wasn't like the Roman rulers of his day either. He was something altogether different. And today, he's still the same one who God approaches us through him, and we can approach God through him. Jesus is actually drawing us to the Father. And so I just encourage people always to follow Christ.
Yeah, and he made these, what you could say is outlandish statements. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, wait, what is he saying? If you've seen me, you've seen God. And he's claimed himself, there's no other way unto salvation except through him. He's the bread of life. As you were saying, and I wrote down the word tangible, God being man, it's a mystery. I mean, fully God, fully man, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, ruler of the world. And yet he came so that we could have a tangible understanding of what God would act like, how God would treat people, the respect and the love that he had, the healing that he brought, and the hope that he offers for all of us. And God put into motion this redemptive plan through Jesus. It's because of Jesus shed blood. It's one of those mysteries, but he died for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't ever be good enough. It's because of what Jesus did on our behalf. And so maybe close out with a prayer for that person that's maybe something's tugging at their heart. They're coming to a realization right now, maybe there is a God that loves me, and I need to know more about Jesus. So maybe help them understand that truth.
Yeah. I think I'll just pray to three groups, help three different people pray, if that's okay. Why don't you pray with me? Whatever you're doing, if you're driving, just with your eyes open, is still fine, please. And if you're sitting in an office or a living room, just pause what you're doing for a second. Lord, we all bow to you right now, believing that you have made us in your image. But that image is blurred. We don't always see that image in the mirror. We don't always see that image in each other. We just get really confused really easily. And many of us have tried to replace that image or clarify that image with an image of our own making. We are exhausted from trying to make ourselves, improve ourselves, define ourselves, identify ourselves. And today, in this moment, we find ourselves just exhausted from that. Thank you, Lord, for providing Jesus, who shows us clearly what your image looks like. I want to pray for three different people, Lord, that they could find and renew his image in them by your Spirit. For that skeptic who just has never been a believer and, in fact, has had a lot of frustration with the church and with Christians, Lord, I pray that you would prompt them to reach out to a Christian friend or to a believing friend they trust, somebody that they believe might know something about you and live it in a faithful way, that you would prompt them to reach out. Lord, for that believer who is just stalled in their faith, they're not necessarily even off track, but they just feel stagnant. Lord, I pray that you would hear them in their awakened prayer today. And if that's you, just stop and ask God to hear you. Ask God to respond to you and to engage you where you are, and admit and confess to him the stalled feeling that you have. And if you're that third group, if you are like my 97-year-old grandma I talked to last week, who is still faithful and her faith is strong, but she's got a lot of sadness because of what she sees going on around her, because she's experienced a lot of loss over 97 years, but she still has a strong faith. She's looking forward to hearing the voice of Jesus herself in a new life. Lord, I pray that for those believers, that you would just encourage them today, that their faith is rewarded, that you are faithful to them, and that they can trust you. Mm. Lord, thank you for all of the ways that you meet us in Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.